Representative Freeman, who even got up.
Can I motion my own bill?
I don't think so. Second. You're good to go now.
All right. Thank you, Chairman. House Bill 387 makes it discriminatory practice for a person who is paying a non-employee labor or services to engage in harassment because of that person's sex. The bill was inspired by a report by Rolling Stone that came out last year and detailed gross harassment and misconduct towards young women in the country radio industry, with over 30 sources, including artists, managers, and radio representatives. Right now, if you are an employee and not a contract laborer, there are certain rights that you have. This would look to include those in contract labor, and actually have someone here who I think we shared with you would like to speak to the committee.
Okay.
Bree Murphy, if Bree would come up here and...
We'll go out of session and hear comments from both sides. You are recognized, and please state your name and who you're with.
I'm Bree Murphy.
Turn your mic on, please, so they can hear.
I'm Bree Murphy, and I'm here as an independent singer-songwriter. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I moved to Nashville in 2011, and I've been lucky enough and paid enough dues to find myself here 8 years later, making a full-time living as a musician, artist, and songwriter. There are very few cities or states where I could feasibly do this, and I'm beyond grateful for Tennessee for the opportunities it gives me, and gives all of us who dare to dream to follow a career in music. However, I also find myself here 8 years later with a lot of stories I wish I didn't have. And they're stories about men with power who are abusing that power. I don't have just one story. I have countless stories. And I have literally lost track of the number of times I've been sexually harassed in the music industry. I find myself to this day in situations where I do expect to have to fend off unwanted advances. I doubt these stories surprise anybody in this room, thanks to the countless brave women and men who have come forward with stories like this. I'm one of many. It does not have to be this way. Some opponents of the bill have suggested that it's the employee's responsibility to draw up a contract that would protect them. And I just want to illustrate how non-traditional this workplace really is with a story from just last week. I was hired by a major label to work on a music video as an independent contractor, as a violinist. And I had a great experience. Everybody was very professional. I'm proud to have worked on the project. But we didn't see the contract until the very end of the session. And this isn't uncommon. When you work as an independent contractor in the music business, especially with major labels or other large companies such as radio conglomerates, you frequently have no say as to what goes into the contract. You can refuse to sign it, but then you risk losing work and you don't get paid for the work that you've done. The fact is, the burden of writing a contract that protects us can't be on our shoulders because there are too many situations in which we have little to no control over what goes on in the contracts presented to us. And not to mention that I don't know anybody in the music independent contracting side of the music business who can afford a lawyer for these situations, not to mention keeping one on retainer. Opponents of this bill have also raised concerns about it interfering in a free market or having a negative economic impact. The fact is, women are really good for business, and these are some macro numbers, but they really start at a micro level. A 2016 Credit Suisse Research Institute report demonstrated that returns on shareholder investments increase in correlation with the number of women in leadership positions. A UC Davis study the same year showed that businesses with women sitting on the board outperform all male boards by 26%, and the McKinsey Global Institute found that we could increase the world's projected annual GDP by 11% and add $12 trillion to the world economy if we can narrow the gender gap employment. And again, I know these are macro numbers, but these changes really start at the micro level on the state and local levels. And these statistics are reason enough to believe that creating opportunities for women in music is in everybody's best interest. And the way we do that is by creating safe environments. And the way we create safe environments is by giving the same protection to workers in freelance and independent contracting positions that the average American worker already has. There's no reason to deny these rights to us simply because we work in a non-traditional environment. Passing this bill could lead to an industry where the girl who is moving here today at 20 years old to pursue her dreams can speak to you all 8 years from now without the same memories and stories I have of being grabbed, chased, held down, blackmailed, drugged, stalked, catcalled, solicited for sex, followed, threatened, and raped. I believe in Tennessee as a state that can lead the way for the music industry to become a safe and diverse working environment for anybody who dares to dream. Thank you for your time. I respectfully ask that you vote in favor of this bill.
Thank you. You want to see anybody from the department have any comments regarding? Okay. We'll go back in session. Oh, back out session, Jim. Please state your name and who you're with.
The chairman looked at me. So Jim Brown, NFIB. I think she's right about this conduct in the workplace is appalling. And the protections, I've talked to Representative Freeman and Senator Yarbrough about this, that the way the bill is drafted, and we're taking another look at it, Senator Yarbrough, the way the bill is drafted, it undermines the independent contractor status. And it's the EEOC, there's no remedy at the EEOC for independent contractors for anything. It's an independent contractor relationship for a reason. And we're taking another look. The bill this year has a different attempt at a definition of a non-employee, and Senator Yarbrough brought that to my attention earlier today. I sent that up to our Small Business Legal Center and also some of our attorneys in town just to see if it did, it had the affected intent not to undermine independent contractor status. We'll let you all know that when we hear back. But as far as her testimony, me too, we're all on board with that. But the way the bill is structured currently, and we're taking another look, it would undermine the independent contractor status. You'll get folks coming behind saying, well, now that we need to have workers' comp for an independent contractor, now we need to have unemployment. And that's the concern the way the bill is drafted.
Comments, questions by the committee? We'll go back in session. You're recognized, Chairman Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just want to say I'm sad. I'm appalled to hear that type of stuff's going on in Nashville and in the music industry. And if there's anything we can do, I would like to do it. As we mentioned yesterday, Representative Freeman, though, that what you guys are attempting to do, it's not a matter of. I just don't think this is the right way to do it. I don't know. I would like to take another look at that and see if there's anything that we can do without jeopardizing that employee versus independent contractor status, because you're either one or the other. I mean, and I forget the young lady's, what was the lady's name?
Bree.
If Bree is an employee, every bit of that is sexual harassment. If she's an independent contractor, then that's just not, it's not something that's recognized through that relationship. And if we start extending employee benefits to independent contractors, then we do have to do unemployment insurance and workers' compensation, and the IRS has their own rules for, you know, whether someone is a W-2 or a 1099. And so it's, I don't know what the solution is. I think we need to do something about this, but I don't think that the code that you're opening up is the right way to handle it.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I appreciate and truly believe what you said, that you have an interest in solving this. I guess I challenge a touch that not being harassed and having the benefit of not being harassed is a benefit. I understand that we would have issue with giving benefits of unemployment as it's a benefit or any of the other benefits. This is, to me, a legal right that we need to codify to make sure that contractors are not harassed. And if they are, they have a claim against a person that's harassing them. To Bree's point earlier, if we would ask these people to put it into their contract, they're just not going to get hired. People are going to walk away. Out of the issue that they may not have the money or ability to get a lawyer, they're going to get red lines struck through. Those contracts are not going to get approved. This, to me, is a real step forward if we're serious about stopping sexual harassment. We've got a whole population that is essentially not protected. They have no protection whatsoever. They can be harassed. They can be fired. They cannot be hired again. And we have an opportunity to do something about it right now. And again, to the benefits, to me, this is not a benefit. This is a right. You have a right to not be harassed. So,
other questions, comment? You're recognized, Representative Thompson.
One of my position I had before I retired was to distinguish between employees and independent contractors for the company I work for. It was a policy. I can't remember the verbiage exactly, but it was a policy about sexual harassment, no matter who is there, whether it be an employee or an independent contractor. So I believe this will not really blur the lines at all, but if we did anything like workers' comp or something like that, yes, that would be. But this is totally a different situation.
Other questions, comments? You're recognized, Chairman Bricken.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If this bill should pass, and an independent contractor, non-employee person did file a complaint, it goes to the Human Rights Commission. If that's what I'm reading here, and I just would like to know what process it would take upon the complaint, and does this bill, it doesn't authorize any per se liability against the company that the independent contractor is working for per se. It just recognizes harassment is a violation. If you could help me out, upon a complaint of harassment, what would the party do, and what would the party seek to get resolved from that complaint?
Recognize.
Sure. Thanks. That's a great question. This does not create a new policy. It does not create a new procedure. It just allows independent contractors to have the same claims on harassment that a full-time employee would have.
You recognize, Representative Brigham?
Okay, I guess I'm having trouble there, where that person would take that claim upon experiencing harassment, and who would pursue that claim on behalf of that person.
You recognize Representative Freeman?
Sure. I guess I'm not understanding the question directly. This does not create a new process. The process that exists, it opens up the ability of someone who is an independent contractor to get the same rights to not be harassed as someone who is a full-time employee.
You're recognized, Chairman Bricken.
I guess I'm just not very clear of where that process goes, though. The question still is if they have the right to sue, I guess, the company or the person that hired them and claim harassment for that. And I guess that's the remedy that person would have, right?
It would go under the Human Rights. Would that be commission?
Correct.
Okay.
You're
I'll just make a comment, especially dealing with the artist community. I have a son that operates in that sphere, and I would just advise any artist that feels like they're harassed to make their case known. Probably every major company in this world is so sensitive to that. If they hear somewhere in the employment harassing employees, if in this day and time, if they're not responsible and of bringing, I mean, all the major hiring companies, the networks, the venues are just extremely sensitive to that. So I know that's not legislation, but it's, I assure you, those companies, if they're put on notice, will bring offenders in the line.
You recognize it?
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Chairman. I echo that as well. And if that's all it took, we wouldn't have this problem. I mean, again, this is an ongoing issue that I think there needs to be legal recourse for these people who are harassed to get the same rights as a full-time employee. Because right now, people just doing right is not happening. And we are seeing it over and over again. The young lady that spoke a second ago, I mean, she spoke out, and the company still did it. So, if there's no real recourse, what can they do?
You're recognized, Chairman Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, Representative Freeman, I commend you for what you're trying to do here. We saw this idea come up last year, and I, you know, there is a difference, I know I'm repeating myself, between an employee and the benefits and things that are bestowed upon an employee versus an independent contractor. And I recognize that the line, it gets close, it shouldn't be blurred, but there's probably a difference between the situation that Bree is in, where she really almost should be an employee, but she's being treated for tax purposes as a 1099, and then a difference between that and the guy that's pouring your concrete, you know, at a job site or something. But we just, by law, we have worked hard to, and whether it be the IRS, workers' comp, or unemployment, there are rules that define if you are an employee or an independent contractor, and you can't just step over out of one into the other for one particular issue without pulling workers' comp and unemployment into it. And those are both issues that this committee won't even consider until we send it off to the advisory council to get. That's how serious we are. At making sure that we have a vibrant, you know, workers' comp market in this state, and then also making sure that the unemployment trust fund is where it needs to be. So there's a lot of issues at stake here, and so I would actually suggest that if you're serious about this and you're new and you're already kind of learning how the process is done and how things are done behind the scenes and worked out, if you're serious about this, then let's take a real look at this. Take your bill off notice. Let's summer study it. And instead of coming back every year with the same bill, running it and getting a little bit of press time that you're interested in this issue, let's really do some, not you, you're, but I'm saying we've seen this. This is a perennial bill at this point. Let's summer study it. Let's get together this summer and form a task force and see if there's something that we can do. Because I think that we all agree on this. This is a bipartisan issue. If sexual harassment is going on, an independent contractor status like this, something needs to be done. But this is not the solution. This bill, it can't be done. You can't give employee benefits to an independent contractor. It's just going to mess everything up.
You're recognizing Representative Freeman. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for taking back the comment about press time, because this isn't what this is about. And I know you're saying that in jest. This is a legitimate issue for me, and I guess I'm. I am new, but I'm struggling to understand the difference. If you are a independent contractor, I can't discriminate you based on the protected classes. Correct? Yeah, I believe that to be the case. There are situations where we have to treat people correctly. This is not a benefit. This is a right. And so the slippery slope, I disagree with. This is a different bill that we carried, that was carried last year. It further tries to define what an employee is. You know, I'm seeing the way the winds are blowing here, and if the best way to keep this alive, because it is truly important to me, is to take it to summer study, I would defer to the committee's desire on that. But this is something that's extremely important to me, and if it is, I would love for us to have on record what exactly that summer study would do, and what we would try to find during that period, because this needs to be addressed, and I don't know that it can wait in limbo indefinitely. So
I'm glad that your conviction's that strong, and I think everybody on the committee here's willing to say that they're convicted, and it's not a bipartisan issue. We don't want to see anybody harassed. Do you have any comments on Chairman Boyd on how you want to see that summer study go?
Well, first of all, I want to say I apologize. For a minute there, it did seem as if I was talking specifically to you, and I apologize. This is your first time running this bill, but I just see a lot of good. I see a lot of things that come every year, the same bill over and over again. But let's get together. Let's summer study it. I'd like to get our business leaders, the Chamber of Commerce, the NFIB, some folks from the music industry. You need to be involved, Senator Yarbrough. I'll be involved in that, the Department of Labor, and let's get together and let's see if we can't find some way to thread that needle and get something in statute to protect these folks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Those in favor of sending this summer study, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Bill goes summer.